Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Tonight, we're going to be in Revelation chapter 18. I'm going to begin with verse 9 tonight. We're going to have a fairly large passage. We're going to be looking at 10 verses tonight. And there is a reason for that. These 10 verses are divided up into three sections, and we're going to see those as we begin reading. We're going to see in verses 9 and 10, the kings of the earth. In verses 11 through 16, we're going to see the merchants of the earth. And in verses 17 through 19, we are going to see the shipping people of the earth, the naval people, those who are shipping containers and goods and services. And what God's Word is going to look at tonight is the judgment. In chapter 18, we have been looking at the seven judgments that are going to engulf the earth on the last days right before the Battle of Armageddon. And it is going to be God's way of preparing the earth, preparing the people. It will be His judgments on the face of the earth for following the Antichrist, for being involved with Babylon, for following all of those circumstances, all of those situations that the Antichrist has tempted them with and has led them into, and they have willingly followed. They have ignored all of God's opportunities for redemption. Now they face His judgment. And this purpose of these judgments that God is pouring out on the earth at this time is to actually entice and lead the kings of the earth into the Valley of Megiddo, where the Battle of Armageddon will take place. So God is preparing the world for His return, for the return of His Son, and for His final judgment on everything. So tonight, let's begin by looking at verse 9 out of Revelation chapter 18. The Bible says, "And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, and of pearls and fine linen, and purple and silk and scarlet, and all thine wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory, and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster, and all the company in ships and sailors, and as many as trade by the sea, stood as far off, and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. May God add blessings to the reading of His Word tonight. Nothing that we have read thus far reveals the hardness of a sinner's heart as their lack of sorrow over sin. As we have seen through the years of devastating judgments, the tribulation sinners will relentlessly refuse to mourn over their sin. But as we have read just in this passage tonight, they may not lament over their sin, but they certainly will lament and worry and mourn over the destruction of Babylon. That glorious centerpiece, the head of Antichrist Empire, it will be judged, it will be destroyed, and because of that, there will be worldwide dismay and worldwide mourning. And the passage that we read tonight breaks down that mourning into three groups and into three categories. First of all, we see that there are kings. The political leaders of the world are going to weep because their capital city is going to be doomed. Their source of power is going to be extinguished. Now, when we see in God's Word that it is going to be destroyed, that it is going to be taken away, the kings of the earth are going to mourn, there are going to be some that will be present at that mourning. And then there are going to be some that are going to be watching over worldwide television. But nonetheless, understand that everyone around the world will be watching as this unfolds, as God's judgment takes its place. Will they admit that it's God's judgment? Probably not. We will probably see the television anchors across all of the major networks talking about global warming. They will be talking about terrorism. They will be talking about who knows what they will be blaming it on. But this empire, this Babylon, the centerpiece of Antichrist's power and authority, is going to crumble, and those that are in authority around the world are going to be mourning over it, and the nations of the world are going to be mourning over it, because everything they do, everything they have, everything that they are financially and physically and as far as popularity goes on the face of the earth exists only because of the Antichrist at this point. So everything that they look forward to, everything that they worship is going to be going up in smoke, literally. They are going to stand afar off at a distance and they are going to mourn. They're going to fear. They're going to share her torment. This fearful scene, it supports an idea that Babylon is an actual city. I had a conversation this morning with one of the ladies at church here in the sanctuary. She was asking about Revelation. And she was asking about some things, and we were talking about Babylon. And in the context that we were talking this morning, I told her that Babylon, as we were talking about, it wasn't an actual city, but it was a system that was set up. And in that context, it was, I wish she were here tonight, because she could get a much better understanding of Babylon. It is a system. It is a religious system, and it is a political system. It is a twofold system. But Babylon will also have a city where it will have its location. Much like New York City in America today is a financial city. It is a financial hub for the world. It is also a cultural hub for the world. And in many cases, it is a spiritual hub for the world, because all of the great religions of the world, for America's perspective, do come together and have some type of representation there. So, if we were doing this for America, we would maybe, instead of saying it's Babylon that is falling, we may say it is New York that is falling. And New York may be brought to destruction. But it wouldn't be just for leveling that city. It would be for leveling the empires that that city would stand for. So that is what we see when we see Babylon. We see systems that it represents and stands for, but there is a physical location on the face of the earth that Babylon will occupy. Here in our passage tonight, we are seeing that physical location be under God's judgment, and it is literally smoking and burning to the ground because God has destroyed it. It will happen. It will take place the very way the Bible talks about it. And it will be God's judgment upon the world because they have turned away from it. And the world will be in fear. And the world will be in torment. But they won't be in torment because of sin. Not because of their sin. They won't be in torment because they have blasphemed God and because God is bringing judgment upon them. They will be in torment because of their selfishness. They will be in torment because they will be concerned about what they lost. I have lost my investments. I have lost my portfolio. I have lost my retirement. I have lost my wealth. I have lost my riches. I have lost everything that I have worked for. Oh my, oh me, I have lost, I have lost, I have lost. That will be what they are mourning over. Now granted, the working people are going to be struggling as it is, just as it is today, but we're talking about the wealthy kings of the world right now. We are talking about the national leaders that report directly to the Antichrist. We see, woe, woe, that great city Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. Since it will survive the devastations of the tribulations up to this point, the leaders will believe it to be a strong city. Up until this point, Babylon has survived everything that has happened. Everything that has taken place, this city, the physical part of this city has survived. All of those people living in this city have survived. They feel like they are above destruction. They feel like they are above attack. They feel like they can't be hurt. They can't be harmed. They can't be touched. Now that God has judged them, now that God has taken His toll upon them, now that God has brought them to desolation, they stand humbled, humiliated, but yet unrepentant. For in 1 hour, in 1 hour. That is not an actual 60-minute time statement. If you go into Scripture and if you research that and study that, it literally means a short period of time. It may be a matter of minutes as opposed to 60 minutes. But it is a picture of a short period of time. It doesn't take God long to finish what He started when He chooses to. It didn't take God but just a matter of minutes to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And that location on the face of the earth has yet to be occupied by anything even to this day. It is in the area of the Dead Sea. If you look at a Bible map and you look at that and you or you watch some documentary on television and you'll see the Dead Sea, how desolate it is, nothing can live there. Right there in the area of the Dead Sea is where the location of Sodom and Gomorrah was. God destroyed it, and God destroyed it so well that nothing has been able to live there since. That is the picture of God's judgment when it comes. God is a gracious God. God is a loving God. God is a kind God. God is merciful to us. God has sent His Son to die on the cross for us so that we may be saved. But in the time when God's patience has run out with mankind and with humanity at this point in the tribulation period, God becomes a God of wrath. And God will reveal that wrath upon humanity and upon His creation because they have chosen to not repent. And they have chosen to be disobedient to Him. That is a lesson that we need to learn tonight, especially in America. Because when we look at Babylon, and we look at the type of city that it was, and we look at the arrogance of their people, and we look at their riches and their wealth, and we look at how they have survived so many things that have taken place during the tribulation, I fear tonight that I see America in this day and age, a picture of this Babylon in Revelation. We are a city, we are a nation who is set up, and we have been blessed of God. We have had God on our side through wars and through famines, through depressions and through financial hardships and difficulties, through civil war and civil disobedience and strife. And yet we turn farther and farther and farther away from God in everything that we do. I fear tonight that I am watching America take the role of Babylon. Maybe not in the Revelation's context itself, but in this day and age that we live in, we are pushing farther and farther and farther away from God, and we refuse to repent. And even the people of the church are growing becoming insensitive to sin, and with having no heart of worship and no love of the lost and seeing the people redeemed. America is in need of a revival tonight before we face the hand of God's judgment in a smaller way than Babylon is going to, but nonetheless, God can give us a wake-up call anytime He chooses. And I fear that we're heading that way. A little personal thought as a side note to the message. But we see these kings here in the tribulation period, and they are standing afar off in fear. And they're giving testimony that the end has come. The end has come. What will they do? They're standing there in dismay. And if you see in your Bible at the end of verse 10, it ends with saying plainly, your hour, your judgment has come. And then it stops. They don't know where to go from there. They have no idea where to go. What to do. Who will be their leader? Who will tell them what to do next? Who will tell them how to explain this to their people? The confusion has become an exclamation point to the chaos. But God's not finished with the kings. He moves to the merchants in verse 11. They weep and they mourn in verse 11 over that, over the destruction, because no one buys their merchandise anymore. The factories, the foundries, the manufacturing, the investments, all of the great wealth of the city is destroyed. It isn't that no one would have money to buy. It is that there is nothing to buy. The worldwide production of all of the commodities on the face of the earth has just been destroyed. All of the wheat, all of the corn, all of the food, all of the gold, all of the precious metals, everything that could be crafted by hand. We see in verse 22, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more. There will be no production of food. The millstone was a symbol of food and a production of food. Without the millstone, there was no cornmeal ground. Without the millstone, there was no flour ground. Without the millstone, there was nothing produce or nothing processed that could be turned into food. And the merchants were mourning. The merchants weren't mourning because people would starve. The merchants were not mourning because society was going to crumble. The merchants were not mourning for anything of that nature. They were mourning because of their money. They were mourning because of their wealth. The source of their wealth had been destroyed. Their weeping and their mourning was all a selfish, self-centered weeping. The merchants, in verse 15, the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand far off for fear of her torment, shall be weeping and wailing. Not only are the governments selfish and self-centered, but the merchants are selfish and self-centered. Even in the means and the manner of all of this destruction and the chaos that's in place and the human suffering that is taking place, people are starving to death. Children are starving to death. Or will soon be starving to death. They have nothing to think about but their bank accounts. Let me give you another picture of where we stand today in America in regards to the merchants. 4 or 5 years ago, a survey was conducted at random across America. It was determined at that time that the average home, the average household in America, had a 3-day supply of food. That's all. If something would happen and there would be no way to get to the store, there would be nothing to buy at the store, at the end of 3 days, anarchy would consume America or begin to consume it. People would begin stealing and murdering. Violence would be on an uptick for a piece of bread. For a piece of bread. Today, and I have seen this transition in my lifetime, and many of you have as well. I remember when I was a child, I would go to the grocery store with Mom, and we would go down, and if something was sold out on the grocery store shelf, you could go ask one of the sales clerks, one of the stock boys that were there. Ask them, you know, I need some of this. Do you have some? Hold on, I'll go to the back and check. And they would go to the back, to the stock room. And if they had it, they would bring out a box of it and they would put it on the shelf and it would be priced and ready to go. There's no stock rooms in the grocery stores today. There is no stock rooms. All of the stores in America today operate on a system called just-in-time delivery. Every 3 days, trucks arrive. And when those trucks arrive, they unload a fresh shipment of supplies. And then they drive off. Those supplies are inventoried, they are priced, and they are put on the shelf. If they sell out, don't worry, come back in 3 days, or come back in 2 days, or come back tomorrow, we'll have some more. But there's no stock in the back. There's nothing to pull from. Whether we realize it or not, we have been indoctrinated silently and quietly into just-in-time delivery. Our households have dwindled down where we no longer have supplies of canned goods on hand to see us through a winter or see us through a bad time, because we have the ability to just stop by the store and pick it up at will. And it's always there. They always seem to have enough. So we let our own supplies, our own stocks dwindle. When we look ahead and we see this part of Revelation and we think about our own cupboards at home, having just enough food for 3 days, and then suddenly the one center of merchandise in the world becomes destroyed, and there is no more food to be delivered. There is no more merchandise to be delivered. There are no more parts to be delivered. No machine. When the machinery grinds to a halt, there is nothing to bring it back online again. What happens to to society. What happens when we go from post-modern worldwide technology back to the days of coal oil lamps with a group of people who have never lived in that, who have never experienced it and have probably never had the opportunity to read about it in a history? Chaos. God's judgment comes into every home on the face of the earth through the governments and through the merchants. But it doesn't stop there. God's judgment continues in verse 17 to every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by the sea. They stood afar off, and they cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like this great city? Back in May, when we made a trip to Charleston, I had the opportunity, we spent a lot of time around the Charleston Harbor, and it was just amazing to see those large freighters coming in. We took a ferry trip out to Fort Sumter, where the Civil War began. And while we were on the boat ride out there, we came very close to one of these freighters that was coming in. I mean, we were so close that we were getting the wake off of the boat. It was moving, the ferry that we were on, it was moving it up and down. And it was just awesome to see the size of this vessel and the containers that it was carrying. And knowing that it came from whatever part of the world that it came in across the Atlantic to come into Charleston to make these deliveries. And then to think about how many of those come in and out of there every day delivering goods and merchandise from around the world into Charleston. And then I stop and I think about all of the other ports of call that are up and down the seaboard. I think of Savannah. And I think of Miami, and I think of New York, and I think of Baltimore, and I think of all of those coastal cities that have those harbors and those ports, and they're all coming in there at the same time. And then on the West Coast, there's Los Angeles, and there's San Diego, and there are all of those ports that are up and down the West Coast, and they're coming in there from that part of the world, and they're coming in, and then we have the same thing going out from those ports, going to areas all around the world. What happens when it stops? When there's nothing to put on those boats? When there's nothing for them to carry because it's all been destroyed? And here we see, alas, that great city wherein were made rich. All that had ships in the sea, they were weeping and wailing again because of their wealth. Those three pictures of civilization in Revelation chapter 18 show a picture that not only stops at the wealthy people there who are in this point affected, but it shows the heart and the condition of humanity in that day. It is all about materialism. It is all about what they have, how wealthy they are, how powerful they are, how influential they are, how much leverage they hold over someone else. Because there's no concern for the people that they give, that they sell these goods to. There's no concern for the common man. There's no concern for loss of life. There's no concern for people that are suffering. Only for their bank accounts. For in 1 hour, she is made desolate. Again, a short period of time. She is made desolate. God has taken His judgment upon Babylon, and God has turned them into the same needing, wailing, hurting class of people that they have spent the last several years creating. They spent the tribulation period manipulating people, keeping working people pushed down. They made slaves out of the entire planet. The Antichrist did. And he and his kingdoms, and he and his merchants, and he and his shipping people, they held leverage over all of the people of the face of the earth. And now they are suffering the same consequences. It isn't justice, it's judgment. They were given the opportunity to repent, and they refused. Many times they were given the opportunity to ask forgiveness of their sin, to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. They refused. Every time they refused, this is a point of Scripture that very rarely gets preached today, but it is very real in our society. When people are being dealt with by the Holy Spirit to be forgiven of their sins, to come and to get saved, and they're pushing away. Every time they push away, they become harder. They become more distant. They become harder to reach. Hard-hearted, the Bible calls it. Stiff-necked. The more they push away, the easier it is the next time. The easier it becomes every time thereafter to push away, the easier it is. Until finally there is no sensitivity to their sin, and the Bible says their conscience is seared as with a hot iron. We see here a very vivid picture of what happens when that conscience becomes seared. They become very, very selfish. Very self-centered. We are seeing that being laid today, that groundwork, in the world around us. Listen to the 6 o'clock news. Read the papers. While you're listening to what's going on and what they're telling you, look at the background and see what's taking place around them. And think about what they're not telling. And when you start seeing those things and you start listening with your eyes and using all of your senses to work and to explain what's going on, you can see very easily there is a very large number of people in the world today who is operating with their conscience as seared. We are living in a day where the groundwork is being laid for the tribulation. And I believe it is being laid at a very rapid pace, and I believe it is being laid in a very solid pace tonight. But as we go and as we continue on through Revelation, we're not only going to see God's judgment come to fruition on all of mankind, but we're going to see God's glory come to fruition upon the church and upon the redeemed whom He has saved and whom He has protected. This story does have a good ending. It may be ugly right now, and it may be horrifying, something beyond what Hollywood can create. But it does have a happy end. And we're getting there one Sunday night at a time. God bless you is my prayer tonight. Ronnie, would you dismiss us, please?